have a formula where they don't spend a lot of money and they play a different brand of baseball. The only problem is fans don't like it. They don't show up. What team wins 93 games and can't draw any fans?
All right, welcome everybody to our Saturday morning podcast. It is my pleasure. He is now part of the Herd Podcast Network. He is launching a new baseball podcast this week called Inside the Parker. Rob Parker, his first guest is Daryl Strawberry. He's a Hall of Fame voter of all the personalities at Fox Sports, FS1. He is by far and away the biggest baseball fan, again, through the years covering multiple teams and a Hall of Fame baseball voter. So, Rob, let's start with this. Mega contracts. Every sport has different deals. NFL guarantees a lot up front. NBA has shorter, very lucrative deals. Baseball now has a 12-year Mike Trout, a 13-year Bryce Harper, a 10-year Manny Machado. Good or bad for baseball?
It's good. It shows that the game is healthy. It's always been different, Colin, from this standpoint. That baseball, they hold on to your rights. And when you're really young and say you get off, they, you know, to a great start and put up some numbers, you kind of get paid for that because you can't go anywhere through your first 6 or 7 years. They have you. So it's a payment for like a guy like Aaron Judge who's making $500,000 for the Yankees. And 2 years ago, his rookie year, hit 52 home runs. He's grossly underpaid, but in time, he'll get that big contract, and it'll make up for those years. So either baseball has to redo the CBA to allow guys to get paid sooner and not have their rights, or they have to continue doing what they do, which is mostly you get paid for what you have accomplished, not so much of what you're going to accomplish.
It's interesting, though. The Angels are really a non-factor, whereas the Dodgers did not pay years ago. They had a chance to pay a pitcher. They let him go to Arizona. They wouldn't pay for Machado. They wouldn't pay for Bryce Harper. And yet the Dodgers continue to dominate their division. Couldn't I say analytically that the big superstar, Joey Votto, Mauer with Minnesota, that the big superstar is overrated? The Dodgers in a big market won't pay for him.
Yeah, I'm not always so sure. Sometimes I think the Dodgers, you know, and Friedman still thinks he's in Tampa Bay. And he's running that organization. The Dodgers have plenty of money. Money's not an issue. And you know what? Maybe that's the reason Colin, they haven't won a World Series since 1988. I think that if they would have spent the money, actually, with the team that they have and the team that they've won six NL West Division titles with, that if they weren't cheap, and say if they would have gone out and traded for Verlander, who still had 2 years left on his contract at $29 million per year, that they would have won the World Series 2 years ago instead of the Astros. And then not only did Verlander do that, he wound up getting another $60 million tacked on. So sometimes I think you got to be careful when you look at it and you're playing the dollars game and you're not really trying to win. I get it. I'm not saying be fiscally irresponsible and just throwing money at people. But when you're in a position and you're ready to win, you should spend money. I'll tell you this. Look at the Manny Machado deal. Everybody thought Padres are crazy. What are they doing? They're giving this guy $300 million. They don't have a good team. They're going to finish in last place. And I know it's early and it's only April, but they're still they're a game or so, you know, behind where the Dodgers are, not that far. They're playing good ball. They're getting attendance. People are buying tickets. It's a business.
Yeah. Rob Parker, Inside the Parker on the Herd Podcast Network, a full-fledged baseball podcast. Yankees are all beat up, but they're still really good. They just have 10 key stars out on the DL. Red Sox were great last year, have struggled this year. Why?
I'll say first, I think the Yankees are the best team in baseball, and it is incredible when you think where they are, Colin. They have actually 13 people on the injured list, and they have a star team. The team that's on the injured list is better than the team that they're fielding. And yet they keep winning. So it's amazing where they are. The Red Sox, it's a mystery because that team is loaded. We saw them win all those games a year ago, win the World Series. You know, Chris Sale hasn't been the same. He's been getting beat around. The pitching isn't the same. And they got off to a really bad start to start the season and really haven't been able to jump out of it. And I don't know if they will. Sometimes teams can, that can happen, where you're just not good from the start, and it never gets there. And last year they were good from the start. They were great, and they never faltered. So it could be one of those things. I think they'll be a lot better than they have been, but I don't know. I'm not sure if they'll win the division. I really believe when the Yankees get all their players back, they'll be the team to win, to beat, I should say, in the AL East.
Rob, you covered the Pistons, the Tigers. You grew up in New York. You covered major sports. Over the course of the last 20 years, the social currency in baseball has dipped, and the NBA's social currency, talk shows, opinion shows, has flourished. Can I make the argument that baseball's not done a great job of marketing, promoting, and elevating their stars, or perhaps that because the season is so long, there's less of a sense of urgency for baseball, and we feel like there's always a game tomorrow? But over 20 years, there does feel like a true separation, NBA talking points and baseball talking points.
I think that that's partially fair on both points. The problem is the NBA has a thing that works for them really well, which is their stars, and there's only a handful of them, Colin, when you talk about the NBA. Even you on your show, you don't talk about the entire NBA.
Nope.
You talk about the seven stars that everybody talks about. So I get it. But the other part is these guys have massive sneaker contracts. We all wear sneakers, so they're getting the pub along from, Jordan or Nike or Adidas. You know, Harden has Adidas, and Steph Curry has Under Armour. So those things count, too. People look and they see them. They don't wear a hat. Their faces are very recognizable. You might not be able to name stars 4 through 12 on an NBA roster, but you know the top 3 or 4 of those guys. And the other part in baseball is you just had an unbelievable era with Bonds and McGuire and Sosa and Jeter and A-Rod, and I can go on and on and on. I could name you probably 20 Hall of Famers who have all bowed out of baseball in the last 4 years. So there's a restocking of it. You know, you're starting to get some people. Bryce Harper's a star. Aaron Judge's a star. But you just can't replenish the Hall of Famers who just bowed out of the game. And I think that's hurt. It's kind of cyclical, but I'll give you that. And basketball has done a better job with the social media aspects. You know, the African-American players who are out there with the young kids. Much more on the social media. I think that's a plus for the NBA.
You know,
but I think
Rob, it's interesting. I remember when I worked at the other company, I was talking to an executive about this, and he said the NFL's always had an understanding it's a television show, and the NBA very much knows it's a soap opera. Whereas in baseball, it's more connected to tradition. They're not as willing to promote. There's a certain way to play a game. They don't want flashy players. Yeah, let me throw something else at you. I'm not a fan of the defensive shift. Because I believe I want Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and Aaron Judge and handsome guys and home run hitters. I want the camera on them. I want them to hit singles and doubles. I don't like the idea that Bryce Harper strikes out or hits a home run, circles the bases, and goes right back to the dugout. I want my stars, Brady, LeBron. I want to see their face all the time on television. Every other sport limits where you can stand. Football, there's penalties and you're on the road. Hockey, the crease, you can't sit there. Basketball, you can't stand in the lane. What about this suggestion? The defensive shifts are taking power hitters, the big stars in the sport beyond pitchers, and they're putting them in the dugout. They're keeping them off the bases, and I think it hurts the marketing of a sport in games.
I think you're right on this one. I hate the defensive shifts. Because what you have done is taken away a lot of base hits and action.
Yes,
of players being on, you know, being on the base paths. And guys don't steal. And I don't understand the one negative I will say that I criticize baseball is why in the world are these teams following the Oakland A's, you know, a lot of the analytics and what they've done, a lot of people, the Billy Beans, have adopted. And the only problem is that they never win. You know what? They don't win. And here's a better one. They won 93 games, made the playoffs, and ranked 28th in attendance. So, yes, did they have a formula where they don't spend a lot of money and they play a different brand of baseball? The only problem is fans don't like it. They don't show up. What team wins 93 games and can't draw any fans? the Oakland A's. So I don't understand why other teams are following their lead when they don't win anything.
Yeah. As any coach or general manager will tell you, the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. And the same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You need top talent, but you don't have endless resources to find it. Luckily, you do have ZipRecruiter. They scout talent for you. One click sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. The powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Colin. That's C-O-L-I-N. ZipRecruiter.com/Colin. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Rob Parker joining us now, part of the Herd Network. You know, on my Herd Network, I have Doug Gottlieb, the All Ball. John Middlecoff covers my draft NFL, former NFL scout, and Rob Parker's a Baseball Hall of Fame voter. And I thought, let's get Parker on this Herd Podcast Network. He also co-hosts a show with Chris Broussard, The Odd Couple on iHeartRadio and Fox Sports Radio. I want to shift to a couple of things in the media because you've been doing this. How long have you been in this business?
33 years.
Wow.
And I've enjoyed every single moment, Colin. I really hit since 1986.
Well, you were a writer, and then you moved into TV, and then you moved into radio. And I've said this, newspapers died 20 years ago, magazines 10, and websites are dying now. But TV and audio slash radio have never died. Audio is as popular as it's ever been. Podcasting's now exploding. When you were a newspaper guy, there was always a feeling 30 years ago that radio and TV were the enemy. They were just talking heads. Why were you willing to move into radio, TV? If you go back to when you first started, years and years before many people in your industry were willing to do it.
You know what? It's funny you say that because I was criticized.
Yes.
Actually, when I was doing it, and people thought I was like, you know, like, what are you doing? You should pay attention to your column. I'll give you this, Colin. I was the first on-air guy hired at WDFN in Detroit, and we were the first all-sports station. And I was the first newspaper columnist to have a full-time radio show. And the other columnists in town just thought I was crazy. Oh, I would never do that. How in the world, you know, why would you do that? You should just do your column and not worry about that. And what's funny is when I wound up leaving to go to New York for another job, they couldn't run in there fast enough to try to get the job, Colin. But I was one of those guys who just thought that you should diversify, that, you know what, if you could have your voice on radio, on TV, and in print, it made you more powerful. So I was one of those guys who was open to it. And when I got on as a guest, I used to say stuff. So people always wanted me on. And I think that's where it was. And I love radio. I really do. Chris Broussard and I have a lot of fun on the radio show. And television is another great way to reach people. So I was always embracing all three. And it worked out for me and a lot of other guys who didn't embrace it, you know, fell by the wayside.
Yeah. No, this is the same reason I did the same thing. I just thought, you know, the world's changing. 30 years ago, local sports was getting marginalized by ESPN. And I thought, I got to figure out a way to stay relevant. And so I started doing radio out of basically necessity. And then I wrote a book out of what I thought was necessity. And I always say I'm kind of running from the sheriff. I'm just trying to stay ahead of the posse here before I get...
You have to.
Yeah, I mean, before you get swallowed up by the next platform. Rob Parker is joining us, Herd Podcast Network, Inside the Parker. You actually, it's fascinating, when I first met you, I like business. You, for years and years... Do you still own the barber shop in Detroit?
I do. 16 years.
Wow.
And it's flourishing. It is the greatest investment, Colin, I ever made. It's called Sporty Cuts. It's on 7 Mile Road and Outer Drive in the city, in Detroit. And it's just great. You get a vibe from the people, the community. You know, this is where guys are letting you know. I always felt like an extra, like I had an advantage over the other columnists and people, because I heard what Joe Regular was talking about. And I would come in on a Saturday, sit around, and people would love to pick my brain, and we would talk sports and debate. And it was great. It has been great. I'm hoping to open up one, the same Sporty Cuts in L.A. I've been looking around, Colin, to try to get a barbershop here. So I love the business. It's a great business. And it was the best thing I ever could have done.
What was the hardest as a local writer? Because locally, when you're in Detroit, and my wife's from Michigan, so I've been all over Detroit and Michigan, the state, up Birmingham, Farmington, got cousins there. In fact, they're in town this weekend. Locally, you see people at the grocery store. You go to your own barber shop. It's different. I sit up here as a national guy, and I can talk about Cleveland. I never have to go to Cleveland. What was the toughest story you ever covered in Detroit where you had to be critical of somebody and still go to the games and deal with the coach or the player?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have enough time on the podcast. Because, Colin, I was that guy who refused to be a homer. And I've always felt like my job was to look out for the fans of Detroit. And when I was a columnist there, I was a columnist at the Detroit News for 9 years and the Free Press for two. But when I was there, the Tigers were awful. You know, the Lions were awful. The Pistons were awful. So I was in a thing where I was writing all these bad things about everybody. Randy Smith was the general manager of the Tigers. And I used to call, I wrote a column where I called him Rancid Randy 13 times in the column because he was such a bad general manager. When the Lions went 0-16 with Rod Marinelli, you know, I used to rip Rod Marinelli all the time. When Matt Millen was the GM, Colin, I wrote a column saying that we had to put together a Millen man march and march him out of town because he was the worst executive ever. So I was there. I had players confront me, tell me that they hated me because, you know, I was always ripping. I'm coming out with a book, in fact, later this year called, because this was my motto when I worked in Detroit. If I'm writing, Colin, I'm ripping. And it's a book of columns that I had to write, you know, while I was there. So I never looked at it like that. I looked at it like I'm going to tell the truth no matter whether people like me or not. And to be surprised, people used to stop me in the supermarket. Some people would say, hey, lay off my Tigers or lay off my Lions. But a lot of people used to say, man, I appreciate your honesty. You know, not a lot of these guys are willing to stand up to these guys and call it like you see it. And you really do. So I knew I'd struck a nerve and people appreciated it.
Rob Parker, Inside the Parker on the Hurt Podcast Network. His first guest, by the way, is the enigmatic Daryl Strawberry, who is one of the great talents of all time. You know, people, Daryl was from, I believe, Los Angeles, when you used to have more urban baseball powers in America. Daryl's one of those athletes, Dave Winfield reminds me of this, where I almost thought he could have played basketball, football, baseball, and if you wanted to be a soccer goalie. Give me your take on Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry was unbelievable. And the reason he was my first guest, Colin, is because the first pro athlete I ever interviewed was while I was in college was Daryl Strawberry in 1983. I was 20 and he was 21 and he had just come up with the Mets. So it was kind of great. But Daryl was a talent.
Oh, yeah.
8-time All-Star. He had a beautiful left-handed swing. He had some of the most monstrous home runs. He was a fan favorite because he was one of those guys. He used to be able to steal bases and you know, and leg out triples and make diving catches in right field and the whole nine yards. So those are the kind of players I still believe people want to see. And, you know, his career got derailed because of drugs and other situations. But I'll tell you, when he came to the Mets, him and Dwight Gooden, both of them, they turned that franchise that was a sad sack franchise into one of the teams that was talked about. Even so, that there were a few years there when they won the World Series in 86 when the Mets got more press on the back pages of the tabloids in New York than the Yankees. That's how popular they were.
Well, they also had just a cast of characters. They just had big, huge, outspoken personalities and quirky baseball players. You know, one of the things about baseball that's kind of driven me crazy, I'm not a big fan of rigidity and rigid people. I can remember as a kid growing up, Mickey Rivers, I loved Mark Fidrich, I loved Pete Rose, I loved Al Raboski. I liked quirky players. Manny Ramirez. It does seem like over the last 10 to 15 years, the quirky player is marginalized. Yasiel Puig is shouted down. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know what? Al Raboski, the mad Hungarian.
Yeah.
You'd probably be politically incorrect to call him the mad Hungarian now, right?
Right.
But yeah, I don't know what that's, where they get that from. They didn't even like when Ken Griffey Jr. wore his hat backwards during batting practice and stuff. He didn't wear it during the game like that. And there were some people who thought he was disrespecting the game, older people. I didn't get it. I think all that stuff is fun. I love the bat flip. You know what? If you don't like it in your pitcher, I don't have a problem with a pitcher throwing at a guy as long as he's not trying to hurt him. But I don't think you should take that out the game. I think it's exciting. You remember the one Jose Bautista hit in the in the playoffs at home? It was awesome, right? And we just saw Bryce Harper in his return to Philly hit a monster home run with a bat flip. Now, nobody threw at him, but, you know, some pitchers don't say that they don't like to do it. Some do. I love all that stuff. Any kind of thing. It's a game. It's a show. You know, it's entertainment. Do not make it like it's some sort of math of homework or whatnot. It's fun. It should be fun.
Finally, who was your favorite Detroit athlete you ever covered?
Joe Dumars.
I knew you were going to say that.
Joe Dumars, and I'll tell you this. We're still very close. Joe Dumars came to my wedding, in fact. I wasn't working there at the time. We had become very close. And, Colin, this is when athletes were different. And Joe and I had a friendship that had nothing to do with me being a newspaper columnist, him being a player, and then the general manager. I'm telling you, I could have been a garbage man. He could have been a bus driver, and we would have had the same connection. You know how you just connect with people?
Yeah.
And we used to talk on the phone. This is no lie. When he was a player, from his hotel room, there were no cell phones. This is pre-cell phone. He would call me from the hotel. We would have an hour or 35-minute conversation and never talk about the game that night. I would never ask him, did they win or how many points he scored. It would just be a conversation about life. And so I'd have to say Joe Dumars.
I would ask you your least favorite, but that was such a nice story. Let's end it there.
Sure. My least favorite was Rod Marinelli. I'm going to tell you that.
Inside the Parker, Herd Podcast Network. My friend, Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, and Rob Parker. Good talking to you. Thanks for joining our network.
Always. Thank you so much, Colin. It's going to be a lot of fun. Fun and informative every week.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.